Merry Christmas. I want to talk about threats. Threats are not something that when you find out about them, you just wait around as if you didn't hear them, or wait around as if the threats don't exist. Threats always need to be taken seriously. I'm reminded of just for an example of parents when they find out that their child may have an allergy, a peanut allergy. They take that seriously. Schools take that seriously. You walk into any school today, go into the cafeteria, there's separate tables set aside for kids to eat who have peanut allergies. I'm always a little on edge when a little kindergarten or first grader comes up to me holding up a package and says, "Father Mark, can you tell me if this has peanuts in it?" I'm always like rereading it 3, 4, 5, 6 times, hoping like I didn't mess something up, that there's peanuts in there. And because, of course, we know it can be, in some cases, life-threatening. Earlier this month, when one of the local high schools around the area, they found a threat in the bathroom at the school, a threat against the school. And Aurora Police was contacted immediately so that they could investigate the situation, the threat. They came in and they did an investigation and an arrest was made. They had police presence on the campus for the remainder of that week. They took no chances because you don't mess with threats. You identify the threats and you act. So today, as we continue to celebrate the birth of Jesus, we're in the octave of Christmas. We also celebrate today the Feast of the Holy Family. And we're thrown into the second chapter of Matthew here. And as we just, Deacon Mike proclaimed the gospel, we hear that baby Jesus has arrived. He's on the scene. Baby Jesus, the Savior of the world, is here. And the three wise men, the three magi, have just left. And who remains are just dad, mom, and baby. And a threat. The angel appeared to Joseph in a dream and informed him, "You need to flee. You need to go to Egypt. Because King Herod, as a paranoid maniac as he was, learning that a king of the Jews was to be born in Bethlehem, mandated that all male children 2 years and under to be killed." And so Joseph, sense of urgency, he woke mom, he woke up baby in the middle of the night and departed for Egypt. Joseph heard the threat against his family and he acted. It's hard for families to flourish today, because threats against the family are so great. Out of all the threats of families, as preparing for the homily, I had a long list of threats against families today. But the Lord just kept me, turning me to just one threat, maybe none more important than the threat that's on marriages. Because nothing's more essential for a strong family than a strong marriage. Today, of course, we know that more and more children are not being raised by their mom and dad in a single household. Studies indicate that children raised in an intact married families are physically and emotionally healthier. They're less likely to use drugs or alcohol and to commit delinquent behaviors. They have decreased risk of divorcing when they get married. Of course, we know these alarming statistics. All that is to say, children need marriages. They need the love of a mother and a father. The love that's provided by a mother and father provides a security for children and educates them about the beauty and faithful love of, well, the beauty and faithful eternal love. Social sciences say that the three most significant reasons children are raised without their married mother and father are unwed pregnancies, cohabitation, and divorce. Now, those first two, the unwed pregnancies and cohabitation, all of us can work on eliminating. And that is this: if you're not married, don't have sex. God created human sexuality for marriage so that babies can be raised by a mother and a father in a committed, permanent, lifelong relationship. And when sex is taken outside of marriage, scars run deep. Every day, there are countless young women in high school, in college, and in post-college that are faced with the decision because they either, them and their partner wanted just to experience it, to see what it was like, or they know well that this relationship does not have any legs and there's not going to be any marriage. So then now they're faced with the decision of either having the baby and having a broken family without two parents in a household, or an abortion. And hopefully they're considering adoptions on the table. So these first two, if not married, don't have sex. And this third reason, we know as a parish that we need to do a far better job in strengthening marriages, helping strengthen marriages, to have opportunities for marriage enrichment, for marriage tune-ups. There is not a single institution out there, of marriage being one of them, there is not a single institution that is not in need of constant tune-ups. Things like cars, we don't just let them go. There's constantly tune-ups. We check on tire pressure. If the belt starts to get loose, we got to get a new belt, tighten the belt. We've changed the oil. No institution requires no tune-ups. No profession requires no tune-ups and continual help. Tiger Woods won the 1997 Masters by 12 strokes, dominated like no one's ever dominated in a major. And after the tournament was over, he tweaked his swing. Priests are required by the church to go on retreat every year, a 5-day retreat, required by church law to do it, to seek out spiritual direction once a month. Why? Because it's easy to form bad habits. It's easy for a golf swing to go bad. It's easy for a golf swing. Bad habits can form in a golf swing. Bad habits can easily form in the priesthood. Bad habits can easily be formed in marriage. And maybe more so than any example of any institution you name or any profession, marriage more so than anything that we can name as an example, bad habits can form in marriage. Because your life is so crazy. Running around, raising children with work, dropping kids off at sports, changing diapers, you're concentrated on just trying to survive. And then the next thing you know, it 5 years go by, and one day you look across the dinner table to your spouse and say, "Oh yeah, you, we're supposed to be friends. How's that friendship, how are we doing on that friendship thing?" There's nothing more frustrating as a priest when an individual or a couple comes in to see me with problems within their marriage, and they come in to see me and it's already too late. It's already been too long from when they've discovered the problems and sought out help. Studies show that from when a couple realizes that they have a problem in their marriage to when they actually go and seek help out, it is 6 years. From when they say, "We have a problem in our marriage," to when they seek help, it's on average of 6 years, which is oftentimes too late. Marriages rarely just explode. Where marriages, rarely it's just one wakes up in the morning and says, I'm no longer in love. It's always over time. Bad habits form. And we can always look at ourselves, and whether it's looking back 6 months, 6 years, or 16 years, and look at things that I've done or that I have not done that has contributed to me falling out of love. Things like not keeping God number one in my life, not keeping my spouse a close number two, having other things creep up and become number one. I let my children, I let social media, I let girls' night out, I let guys' night out, I let work, I let anything else become my number one, and my spouse, the next thing I know, is number 10, number 11, number 12. And it happens easy because life is hard and life is crazy, your life is crazy, and bad habits form easily and quickly. So get help, do not wait. Just a couple things that we posted on the website in preparation for this weekend. It's two things. One is something called Retrovi. And Retrovi are for marriages that are in crisis, marriages that are in trouble. Retrovi weekends, two are coming up, March 13th, September 18th. To register, if your marriage is in crisis, seek help and grow on one of these two Retrovi weekends. And secondly, as I've mentioned, Father Don, myself, and parish staff talking to the importance of having at this parish marriage enrichment opportunities, simple tune-ups for marriages. In preparation for this homily, I had a conversation with a marriage and family therapist based out of Chicago. I was talking with him on the phone on Friday morning. And as we were talking on the phone and hearing of just what he does and as he offers these little workshops throughout Chicago, and he's mentioned me the dates that he has of these coming up and for me to encourage couples to go to those, and just hearing his voice of his passion and his experience of helping married couples just with enrichment and tune-ups, I just asked him, I said, would you be up for coming to Our Lady of Mercy here soon? And he is. He's coming instead of a long day-long workshop that he puts on, I asked if he would come on two consecutive Friday nights, January 24th and January 31st, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Date night. We're going to cook you a meal. We're going to provide child care for you. Can we have wine? I don't know. I didn't ask Father Don yet if we can have wine. That's to be determined, okay? I hope so. I think. But his workshops are specifically for newlyweds up to 15 years of marriage, because as he's mentioning over the phone, that's oftentimes when bad habits are formed, when trouble begins to take place, and it's when it needs to get corrected. But as he reminded me on the phone, the content at these workshops is not just for couples from 0 to 15 years. It's for that. The information is applicable to all marriages. As one couple on the way out after the 7:30 mass, I'm guessing they're married for maybe over 30 years, came up to me and said, well, what about us? Do bad habits not form in marriages past that year? We're 30 years marriage. I said, absolutely, come. Two consecutive Friday nights, if you can only come, they build upon each other as he starts off with talking about just God's plan for marriage, and then he gets in the nitty-gritty workshop type stuff. If you can only come to one, come to one. But register. With the number of young families that we have at this parish, that gym should be packed those two nights. It should be packed. There's not a marriage that is not in need of tune-up, that's not in need of marriage enrichment. I could list his credentials, who's coming, David. But maybe I'll just say that him and his wife, Shirley, have been married for 39 years, and he has 9 children. I think that qualifies him. Marriage is under attack. Throw everything you have at your marriage. And tap into the grace of the sacrament of matrimony. Are you fully tapping into the grace of the sacrament of matrimony, which will be discussed those evenings as well? Just before concluding, just two side notes here and a final plea. None of this is to diminish the heroic efforts of many single parents whose courage and determination is awe-inspiring. Continue to persevere and know that God looks down upon you proud and call upon his help and his grace. And secondly, all who are here who are children of divorced parents, either young or old, don't let anyone tell you that your parent, the divorce of your parents is not a big deal. It's a big deal. And don't think that it's your fault that your parents got a divorce. And above all, as I list those statistics in the beginning, do not be sitting here thinking, well, I'm doomed. God does not leave anyone orphaned or alone. Call upon his help and know that God's grace is just he overly wants to pour his blessing out upon you and to pour his grace upon you because he's a good father. And of course, your parents love you. And finally, just a plea to the men here this afternoon. Joseph was the anti-Herod. Joseph was the kryptonite to Herod. Joseph was the one who initiated the smothering of the threat upon his family. Gentlemen, this is on you to lead on these things, to guard against the threat, whether that is taking the initiative and saying, let's wait until marriage, or that's the encouragement to say, let's go to this tune-up. Let's seek out marriage enrichment. Because there's a big difference with after Mass gets over and walking to the car and getting into the car. And for you, as the husband, turning to your wife and saying, I think we should go to this. I think we should receive a tune-up. Versus your wife turning to you and saying, I think we should go and get a tune-up. There's a big difference there. Take the initiative in identifying threats against your family and act.